This is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Good morning, sports fans. It's a pleasure to have you here for the Big Tuesday Show, as we do things here on Locks of the Week Radio. Well, I'm Dave Medina, talking about what's been going on in sports, which is basically nothing. What happened last night was the Home Run Derby, and it's an event that I have boycotted. If you've listened to this program over the last couple of days, I have had enough with the excessive narcissism involved in this event. Was not a fan of the way that the powers that be, the ballots and the fans, selected four Phillies to round out the roster, and I haven't even considered the pitchers. So you've got just a whole bunch of Phillies on the team in the National League, and I just wasn't a fan of that. And I just did not appreciate it. And it was one thing if you pick guys who really were all-stars from the team, makes sense. But that's not the case with the Phillies. You got marginal players representing this team. And enough is enough. So I decided I'm not going to watch. And I'm not going to watch the... I was not going to watch the Home Run Derby. And today, I am not going to watch the All-Star Game. And it's the first time I have not watched the All-Star Game in a really long time. So, well, let the chips fall where they may. And we'll get a recap down the road about this if we can. But meanwhile, we have a guest here coming up to join us here on the show. It's Andrew Jacobson, and he'll be here any second now in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. And for those of you who are new to the program, you're going to be in for a treat. Andrew Jacobson really is very candid about sports. He's always got something good to say, and he is the football guru, but today he'll be talking baseball with us. So enjoy. It should be fun. Thank you again for joining us and listening here on our show. And here we go. And now our guest joining us now to our new audience here in the city is Andrew Jacobson, our frequent contributor here on the show. Hey, man, welcome aboard.
Hey, what's up, Dave? How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, it feels good when you do the show in front of actual people.
Is somebody sitting there with you?
Well, no, I mean, like, we have an audience now. I mean, we used to broadcast this just to our friends, and now we have, like, other people listening. So we welcome them. Say hello to all the other people.
Your little website there made it big this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, in yesterday's podcast, we talked about how one of the links on my site was linked on Deadspin. And that's
right.
Huge. I mean, I've never had anything of mine put to that much exposure. And, I mean, granted, the video got more attention than my audio thing did, but I still got a lot of hits, like 3,000 hits. 3,000 hits.
Yeah, that's good. And then, of course, you did so many hits that your little audio clip there got all messed up because of it.
It crashed the site, practically.
Yeah.
It just ran out of bandwidth. It was all what happened, so I upgraded the bandwidth, and now we're back up to full speed again. So it's a great moment for the Dave in the City podcast and the website. I'm really happy. So now we have, you know, the dog days of summer coming up. And the Home Run Derby was last night. I didn't watch it. What did you think?
I thought it was okay. There wasn't anything tremendously outstanding or memorable with it. Last year, obviously, a lot of people remembered Josh Hamilton and everything he did, particularly very early in that thing. And, of course, nobody remembers who actually won the dang thing, because Josh Hamilton didn't. But he did put on quite a performance. And then tonight, you know, was kind of so-so. The big thing was obviously Albert Pujols and how he was going to do. And he was actually fairly disappointing. Made it into the second round, but you know, didn't make it any further than that. So kind of disappointing, I guess, for him and the fans there in St. Louis, and overall it was just okay. You know, the Home Run Derby is kind of fun and exciting at first, but then you realize it takes 3 hours for this thing to play out. You know, and it just gets by the time it gets towards the end, you just want it to be over. You're just like, all right, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it can. I mean, we went to one of these in person one time. Like, we went to a Home Run Derby in San Francisco, and It was so good. The batting practice part, which means the part they didn't even put on TV, that was great. I mean, we had a lot of fun. They just started wailing at the home runs, and we saw Albert Pujols hit a couple of big bombs that day. And that wasn't even televised. Once they actually got to the programmed part of the show, it kind of dragged on, and it was not as fun as it was on TV.
No, yeah, I mean, even at the end, I was just kind of out of it, you know? But the same kind of thing. In fact, do you remember who won that one?
I think it was Vlad Guerrero.
Vlad Guerrero did, yeah.
Yeah.
Vlad Guerrero won the whole thing, so. Prince Veggie won it tonight, so good for him. He's on my Home Run Derby fantasy league team, so I think by virtue of him winning the actual real Home Run Derby, I should get extra points in the fantasy league, but I guess I don't know how to do that. But overall it was okay. You know, it was entertaining for a little bit. By the end, I was kind of fighting sleep.
Wow.
So, yeah.
An unmemorable Home Run Derby. Well, that'll happen every now and then. So,
yeah.
So now we have
definitely what we had tonight.
Well, what's interesting about the All-Star game, which again I am boycotting because I'm so sick of how they've picked all Phillies to fill out the roster, no pun intended. But what's interesting...
That's still part of your bitterness to the Phillies because they beat the Dodgers last year in the playoffs.
Well, it doesn't help that they have not really shown enough to me to prove themselves as a good team. Yeah, they win games, but they don't have the pitching. And quite honestly, I don't think they're a good team. I mean, their defense isn't that great either. And most of their players who hit are hitting because of that ballpark. I mean, you look at a guy, for instance, Aaron Rowan, who had his career year in Philadelphia. You see guys like Victorino and Jason Worth. These are two guys that are mediocre baseball players, let's face it. But they're having good careers or having good seasons because they play in this ballpark. Now, I haven't run the splits on them, but...
Yeah, I should say, before you say that, you probably want to take a look at their home versus road stats.
And, you know, it's possible if I were to do that, that I would find that they have very even statistics.
It's possible if I did any research at all. I could validate my opinion.
Oh, man.
This is where Jake gets you all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that is a problem, but, I mean, when you think about it, this is a fact, and I did research this. The Phillies have the fourth worst ERA in the National League. For them to be leading the division speaks to two things. One, they have a tremendous offense, which is great because they've needed it. And two, their division really isn't that good. So, who do you see as the guy? The
team? You want to know Shane Victorino's home and away stats?
Do you have it on you?
Yeah.
All right, let's show it. Lay them on me.
All right. This is for this year. He's batting .309 overall.
Mm-hmm.
At home, he's batting .328. And on the road, he's batting .288.
Well. Doesn't that support my cause?
About a 40-point difference.
That's a pretty significant clip. Now, how many home runs does he have on the road as opposed to home?
Well, he's not a home run hitter. He's only got six runs on the road than he actually does at home. He's got two home runs at home. He's got four home runs on the road.
Yeah, and that's exactly
right. He's got 23 RBIs on the road. He's got a slugging percentage of .460 on the road and .468 at home. So his slugging percentage is almost identical home versus road.
Okay, so let me ask me this question.
His on-base percentage is about 50 points higher at home.
Oh, my God.
Road.
50 points higher? Oh, my goodness. Eesh.
Well, I don't know how walks help matter in terms of what ballpark you're playing at.
Well...
You know? He's got a lot more walks at home than he does on the road, but you know that's not unaffected by what stadium you're playing in.
Well, okay, that's not a bad point, but how is this?
I mean, his stats are better at home. There's no question about that. He does have more home runs on the road, but he's not a home run hitter anyways, so that doesn't matter. Let's see, Mr. Worthless.
Yeah,
he's got. I'm upset about the word thing, too, because, quite frankly, you know, your extra outfielder already was Shane Victorino by virtue of him being in there. So, you know, I don't know why they put Worth on a team. They didn't need another outfielder. They should have put Pablo Sandoval on the team because he was the guy who was the second in a very close voting race for that last roster spot. I would think you'd want to give it to the guy who came in second in the roster voting. What do I know yet?
Yeah, what do we know?
Coach the Phillies, so I don't have to pick my own players to be on the team.
It's just annoying. I am so sick of this whole, the whole team. I'm sick of Manuel. I'm sick of the I'll get into that later.
Do you want to know Jason Wirth's home versus away stats?
Yes, I'd be delighted to hear that.
Yeah. On the road, he's batting .302. At home, he's batting .226. So he's almost 80 points higher, 75 points higher on the road than he is at home.
All right, well, that's a fun one. What about his...
he has 9 home runs on the road and 11 home runs at home, so almost identical. Two more games at home.
Okay.
It's almost identical, 20 home runs total. His on-base percentage is obviously better on the road. His slugging percentage is .537 on the road and .491 at home. His OPS is .955 on the road and .817 at home. So Worth, if you look at him, is considerably better, or has been considerably better halfway through the season on the road instead of at home.
Yeah, and the bottom line here is whether... whatever his stats are, do you really think they're good enough to be the reserve guy off the bench to fill in? I mean, because you could pick, they're supposed to pick, I believe, the guy who had the second most votes of the ones who are not starters. So I don't know how Worth got into the picture. That's where my beef and your beef is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think in part maybe Worth's there because he's a Philadelphia Philly, and then Jerry Manuel is the guy coached in the Phillies. I mean, that's I think kind of the obvious kind of thing there.
Well, that's stupid.
Or Jerry Manuel is the guy going to be coaching the National League All-Star team just to select the final reserve spot.
Yeah.
He's batting .263, which is a pretty bad, batting average. His on-base percentage, though, is .371, so that's a pretty decent on-base percentage, particularly for such a low average. This guy walks a lot, 52 walks. He does have 20 home runs, and he does have 56 RBIs. So right now, I mean, he's on pace for about 40 home runs and over 100 RBIs. He's got 12 stolen bases. So statistically looking, it's not necessarily a horrible choice. You look at it, he's got a low batting average, but all the other numbers are very, very good, certainly among the tops in the league. So, in that respect, it's not necessarily a whole big reach of a decision to put him on the roster.
Well, I really don't. Even so, I mean, I know you could give him the benefit of the doubt, but look, they already have. Okay, I don't want to get into this again. I've been over this 100 times. Look, let's not talk about
the
that.
Point,
right.
The point is, you're not watching it.
I'm not watching the game, so let's instead focus on this first half now and what we've seen in this season. Now, on ESPN Radio this morning, a guy by the name of Eric Casillas gave some surprises and disappointments in the MLB this season. One I disagree with is the Dodgers. I'll get into that later. But who are your surprises and disappointments so far in baseball this season?
Well, I think the surprises, to kind of start, I think you got to look near where we live, out west, and look at the Giants and even the Rockies. You know, I mean, both those teams kind of didn't figure to be much of anything this year, and here they are, both kind of 1-2 in the wild card race. Obviously, it's going to be a stretch for them to try and catch the Dodgers here, but it's pretty impressive that they're right there with the third and fourth best records in the whole National League. You know, when you got teams like Philadelphia and New York and St. Louis and Milwaukee and Chicago and all these other teams that people had pinned up for better records, and here's San Francisco and Colorado sitting right there in the thick of things. So I don't think a lot of people kind of figured that early in the year. So I would say that's a surprise. I think Texas is obviously a surprise, 1.5 games out behind the Angels. Certainly their performance so far this year, almost, 10 games over .500. A lot of people always, we knew that they could hit the ball, but kind of surprising that they've been able to get some of the pitching that they have, and had the success against the Angels that they've had to this point this year. And a lot of that without even Josh Hamilton, who's missed a good portion of the year, and even when he's played, he's been a little less than spectacular. So that's a surprise, I think, as well. So those three teams I would kind of pinpoint as real big surprises so far this year.
All right, so now who are the teams that have been the big disappointments this one? Now, rank them in terms of most disappointing and then, like, maybe not as disappointing.
Well, I think some of the more disappointing ones, I think obviously the Cubs are a big disappointment. 500 baseball, they've just been kind of been everywhere this year, haven't been hitting the ball very well. The pitching's been okay at times. They've had a few blow-ups. Zambrano, Milton Bradley has had some moments. You know, so I think that's a team that at times has really looked like they're kind of in disarray. I think some of the other disappointments, certainly the Mets to a certain extent are a disappointment. I mean, three games under 500 at the All-Star break. The one thing I would give them a little bit of a break on is they've had so many injuries. So many injuries with guys like Beltran and Reyes and Delgado, and they're just, the lineup just lost its punch, you know, in a lot of ways. So I think in some ways I give them a little bit of a break, although I never think injuries are an excuse for poor performance. I think that's a part of it, part of the sport, part of playing sports, is you're going to get injuries, and you just, you know, the good teams are going to be able to deal with them and still move on and perform well without players, you know. And I mean, any team that's starting LeVon Hernandez as a normal everyday starter right now in the major leagues is obviously has some questions on their pitching staff and not a lot of depth there. But, you know, they've been a disappointment. Cleveland's been a spectacular disappointment. There's a team that some people thought could be in the thick of things in the Central just a few years ago. They had a lot of young guys on their team, looked to be a team on the rise when they win that ALCS series against Boston. Took a 3-1 lead. Boston ended up winning the series, but certainly looked for a few moments there, a few days, that it was very much going to be Cleveland in the World Series. They've been a disappointment to a certain extent. The Diamondbacks have been a disappointment. They've just been a grease fire. You know, and just outside of Dan Heron, have been absolutely awful so far this year. So, I mean, there's a good amount of disappointments out there as well.
You know, you brought up two really good teams that I think have been overlooked by the national press and the national media big time. I was going to say the Cavaliers.
Yeah, LeBron James. Too bad that son of a bitch gets overlooked all the time.
I mean, the Diamondbacks and the Indians. I keep saying Cavs. The Indians and the Diamondbacks are actually two really good examples of teams that are major disappointments, especially the Diamondbacks. We thought that they would be maybe a 500 team, but I think a lot of their young talent hasn't panned out. We knew that their bullpen was terrible. We knew that their starting rotation wasn't much outside of the top two. But with Brandon Webb having been injured for a little while, now we haven't even heard from him this year. That shows you how much they've fallen off.
The whole season.
Yeah.
The whole season, basically. And that's part of it. I mean, you know, when you lose a guy like that who's basically the ace on your staff, your team is... You know, unless you're really deep in pitching, which obviously Arizona isn't, you know, it's going to affect you. Arizona has, Dan Heron arguably could be the NL starter in the All-Star game. You know, in a lot of ways, his statistics are better than Lincecum's so far this year. But, you know, not having Webb there, that's huge. I mean, you got to look, that's maybe 10 games that you're probably down that you might have otherwise won with Webb in there. Instead, you're the fill-in for him. You've got some scrub who probably wasn't even originally supposed to be in the starting lineup. You know, and that's a hard road to hoe for the whole season, and that's kind of what, you know, Arizona's been dealt with. So, like I said, injuries are never necessarily an excuse, but it certainly makes maybe a record of where you're at a little bit more understandable in the sense of the Mets. It, you know, when you look at some of the injuries and things that they've sustained, you know, their record, you know, being a little bit under 500 seems to be understandable. And for the Diamondbacks to lose their number one pitcher, you know, to see where they are, in some ways is understandable. So I think you got to kind of look at that kind of stuff.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, that extends to the Indians as well, because they have had a tough time getting Victor Martinez to play. You know, he'd been down and out for a long time now. I think he's finally playing. I haven't checked. It's because, you know...
Yeah, he's doing well this year.
Okay. So,
in fact, they're talking about him maybe being a possible option to trade to another team.
Interesting, interesting. But, yeah, a lot of that team has been decimated from the Indians from 2007. When you look at CC Sabathia, their rock, their ace, he's not on the team anymore. And Cal Ramona has not panned out. And Cliff Lee was pretty much you, I, and Jacob predicted. He was a guy that had a really, really hot year, but he really wasn't, he really didn't figure to be that good the next year. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, he was already like, what was he, 27 the year he won the Cy Young last year? It just didn't seem like he was going to do that again.
Yeah, I think we all kind of knew with Cliff Lee that last year was an amazing year for him and good for him, but I think we all also understood that he wasn't going to be that Cliff Lee every year. You know, and that was just one of those types of years players sometimes get in their careers where everything kind of falls into place and happens right. And they do really well, and then, you know, the next year they come back to earth, and I think we're seeing that with Cliff Lee this year.
Not to mention, I forgot that Casey Blake was traded away from the team in the middle of last year to the Dodgers in exchange for a prospect named Carlos Santana, who will, I think, be the replacement for Victor Martinez eventually. But until then, they're really decimated. I mean, they don't even have Mark. Now, do they have Mark DeRosa? I think they traded him. I think he's gone.
They traded him to the Cardinals, and then he got hurt right away.
Wow.
Which is kind of bad luck for the Cardinals. They get this player, and then, you know, virtually a day or two after he's traded to their team, he gets hurt, and he's now missing some time. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough go for the Indians. Now, on the other end of the division, how about the Detroit Tigers? Now they're not the perfect team. They have a lot of issues in their rotation. It's not perfect. Purcell's really fallen off. But there they are, right in the middle of the division race in the AL Central. A lot of people didn't think they were going to be that good. I was not one of them. I really thought they were going to do some work. They're looking good.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. You know, they have Edwin Jackson's been really good for them this year. Verlander's come back strong this year. It's really well. And the offense has done fairly well. It hasn't been the world's greatest offense, but it's been pretty solid for them and doing well. Their bullpen's still a little bit of a question mark. But overall, I think the Tigers, and what is a fairly average kind of division. I mean, you got the Royals who are off to a hot start, but have really cooled off. You got the Twins, who are a good team, not great or outstanding. The White Sox have some issues, obviously. And, you know, so I mean, and then the other team in the division Cleveland, we just spent a half hour talking about, who's been a major disappointment. So the division's not the toughest in the world. So that certainly works into their favor. And I think it's going to be them, the White Sox and the Twins, and I think they're certainly going to have the advantage there.
The AL Central has always been one of the more compelling and competitive divisions year after year. It's had really tight races down the stretch, and that's something I enjoy. Now, there are two teams you mentioned, the White Sox and the Twins. I think the Twins are solid, but are the White Sox going to hold up?
That's a good question. I mean, they're a very inconsistent team, and one week they look really good, and the next week they look really bad. I don't know. I don't know what really to make of the White Sox. I don't even think the White Sox right now know what to make of the White Sox. They talked about a few of those players maybe being traded, but you know, right now they're in the thick of things there. I think they're only
three and a half
in that race. Three and a half. So I mean, you know, they're still in it, and if they're in it, they're not going to make trades for players to get out. So I think how they come out and play after the All-Star break right away is key. If they stay 3.5, 2.5, 4 games back, you know, I think that, you know, they'll stay on pad. I think if they lose a few games coming out of the break, slip back a little bit, 7 games, maybe even 8 games, you know, by the end of July, we could see them trying to sell some players. So it'll be interesting. They're going to be one of those teams where I think, depending upon how they come out of the break, it's going to say a lot for what they're going to do in the future.
That's a good personal question. Does this White Sox team
No personal questions, Dave.
Whoa.
you have an audience now, it's very uncomfortable.
All right, it's not
okay,
quite.
Go ahead.
That's a good comeback. But basically, do the White Sox today remind you of the San Francisco Giants, let's say, 7 years ago?
Well, I've never really thought of that. In what way?
Well, they got a lot of old guys on the team. They base
well,
most
the
of their offense.
Always had old guys on the team. That reminds me of yesterday. Nothing new.
All right.
Randy Johnson pitching for us, for God's sake. The guy played when the dinosaurs were playing baseball.
All right. Well. All right. Maybe that's not a good question. In that case.
Was that a personal question?
Personal because it involved your team.
It's not a personal question. It could be like, Andrew, what's your favorite restaurant?
By the way, what is your favorite restaurant? I'd like to know.
Taco Bell. Love it.
Wow.
Yeah. Birthdays, I always go to Taco Bell. Yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Question.
Get a chalupa. Go ahead.
Okay. This is not related, but is there a Del Taco in West LA? This is going to be important when I move there.
Well, we are LA. We certainly have no shortage of tacos, dear. I don't know specifically if there's a Del Taco around. There's got to be one around.
Yeah, I think so too.
I know there's a Taco Bell around that is not incredibly accessible to me, which is a disappointment. You know what? There isn't a Del Taco around here. The closest one would be near the marina, looks like.
Wow.
On Venice Boulevard. Yeah, doesn't look like there's a Del Taco in the West LA area.
Jeez. Who knew?
Looks like you got to go down to either Venice Boulevard, or you got to go over to the marina. Yeah, or Beverly Hills. Certainly, you know, Beverly Hills and a Del Taco, probably pretty good.
Beverly Hills and a Del Taco? That's kind of fun.
Yeah, they got one right there. Yeah, right. I'm looking on the map right now. So.
What do they have, like a gold-plated drive-through and like a speakerphone with like video conferencing?
Yeah, I heard that's what they got. You should come down and check it out. It's a big tourist attraction for the Midwest folk.
Does Bob Barker take my order there? This would be fun.
No, I don't think Bob Barker works there. Although I think some of the girls do.
Oh, that might be good. That's right. That might be worthwhile.
Yeah, there's one in the marina. I know where that one is, though, over by where my girlfriend lives.
Oh, okay.
But, now, if you go to the San Fernando Valley, you certainly have no shortage of Del Taco. If you want a Del Taco, you just take a little trip up to 405 to a place called the Valley, and you'll be all set.
Beautiful.
You can do the Del Taco loop and go to all 25 Del Tacos they have in a 5-mile radius.
The Del Taco tour. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, not actually none around right over here.
Weird.
So,
well,
yeah.
I don't know how to explain
it. We do have Benito's Tacos, though, so you're all set.
All right, that's good enough. I'll take it.
I had that last week.
Okay, well, I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So now let's look at
this. How are you looking forward to being down here?
Oh, man, am I ever. I mean, the more I think about it, the more I'm excited about it, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, dude, I mean, just think about it. I'm going to go from a place that has zero Del Tacos to one that has 25 within a 5-mile radius.
Well, that'd be the Valley. You gotta live up the freeway a little bit if you're going to do that.
Well, that's about 20 minutes away, I guess, so, or with no traffic, I guess, until, at least I know
yeah,
those.
I mean, there's still tacos around. There's not one within 10 minutes of you.
All right.
Not unless you want to live in Beverly Hills.
No, I'd rather not, thanks.
I don't think that's in your price range.
What do you mean, like, the burrito's going to cost, like, $5 because
you're going to, well, no, I mean your price range for your living expenses.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, yeah. I would not live. Yeah, the Beverly Hills is is a little too rich for my blood.
Although maybe the money you spend on rent, you could save by going to Del Taco.
Well,
for all your meals.
Well, there you go. Yeah, Del Taco 5 days a week.
You could do that every. I would say if you live in Beverly Hills, I would recommend Del Taco 5 days a week. Just to save money. Yeah, 90 or 89 cent tacos cannot be beat.
Oh, man. Oh, dude. So let's look in the second half of the MLB season, unless you want to talk UFC. I don't think you do, do you?
Well, I kind of want to keep talking about tacos, but all right. We'll talk about
tacos?
This is a sports broadcast.
Well, I mean, the taco discussion is really quite good. You know, by the way, I was talking about Jack in the Box on the New York board one time, and people were asking me, do they still sell the tacos there? Because they liked the tacos from back in the day when they had Jack in the Box out east.
Yeah.
And I told them, yeah, they still do the tacos. And they were like, wow, it's pretty good. And so, you know, right after that, I had the two tacos at Jack in the Box. And those tacos are actually very underrated. Now, the slice of Kraft cheese in the middle is kind of weird, but outside of that, it's pretty good.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
They aren't. And, you know, people have fought for these things in Laker games. They're like yelling at the team to play defense so they can get their tacos. It's really phenomenal.
Right.
But
it's not bad.
What is the weirdest sports food-related promotion with sports you've ever seen, like in a game that you've been to or a game you've heard about on the Sports Center or on TV?
Oh, wow. I don't know. The one I remember, because I like this, obviously from Taco Bell, was... Well, didn't Taco Bell do, like, free tacos or something like that with the All-Star game one time?
Don't know about that.
Coming to get a free taco if something happened or... I forget.
World Series. So, someone steals a base, everybody
World
gets
Series,
a taco.
That's right. So somebody steals a base and everybody gets a free taco. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
The other one I remember is from... the NBA Finals, years and years ago, when the Magic played the Houston Rockets, I remember a whole promotional series. They had Hakeem Olajuwon and Shaquille O'Neal on, like, riding, like, bicycles together, and it was to advertise their new double-decker taco. Do you remember this?
I do remember it vaguely, yeah. I remember Shaq was involved.
I just got to remember the commercials, because I remember watching that Finals. And then I remember it because I love double decker tacos. They are fantastic. So that is the other memory I have. But yeah, I think they had like a little thing there with the NBA Finals, kind of tied in with Shaq and Hakeem and that whole thing when they were playing. So that was kind of a weird little thing, but I still to this day enjoy it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to see that you got some enjoyment out of a taco promotion. You like tacos?
Yeah, here it is. It's on YouTube, by the way. You can check that out on YouTube.
Beautiful. That's good. That's good
stuff. It's on there.
Oh, man. So, well, I think that's it for today. Because, I mean, we could talk about second half, but it's all speculation. My feeling is this. The Texas...
Do you know what the original price of a double-decker taco was?
89 cents.
79 cents.
Wow. Boy, the prices have sure gone up.
Yeah. How much is it now? Do you even know? I don't even know.
It's like $1.19.
That's not too bad.
I think. I haven't checked, though.
Hmm.
Yeah.
This is like your food show.
Yeah, the food show.
we really got... I was like, oh, yeah, I had nothing to talk about. The All-Star Home Run Derby. Let's talk about tacos. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure Bill Simmons appreciates this. I mean, he gets into these weird tangents, too.
That's when you know you're in the dog days of summer.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to talk about.
Well, this is really the three worst sports days of the year. I mean, today you have the home run derby, and yeah, it's fine, whatever. Home runs, okay, yeah. It's tomorrow's the All-Star game, which is fine, you know, it's kind of fun and everything. Wednesday, there's no sports whatsoever. There's no baseball on. Obviously, basketball season. There's none of that. No football. I think ESPN's doing all-day rodeo shows on Wednesday just to fill airtime.
Wow.
Nothing on Wednesday. And then after that, you're going to the middle of summer. It's the middle of July. 4th of July's past. You know, it's just hot. You know, you're kind of in the dog days of summer, and then obviously you get towards the end of July, August. And into August, you know, you start getting the preseason football going, football news starts picking up, and, you know, by the end of August, we're at football season, we're You know, baseball pennant races are in full swing with about a month left in the season. So, you know, kind of the dog days of summer and dog days of sports right now. You know, baseball's going to return in a few days by the weekend. But even then, you know, it's just going to be yeah, it's going to be kind of so-so for a while until we get baseball season a little bit closer to finishing up and football season a little closer to start.
Yeah, I think so. And so, you know,
that's why my girlfriend not having ESPN right now is not so bad.
That, well, you know, it is going to be a pretty good second half in baseball. The question is, basically, who do you see as a potential dark horse to kind of overtake some of these other teams and make a run to Giants? Well, they're already leading the wild card, though. But
no, I know. I'm just kidding. What's a team that could make a run?
I think the Cubs, right? Wouldn't you think?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, I guess. I mean, they have the talent there. You know, I like the Brewers, but I don't know if I like them to make a run. They need some pitching help. Last year they got it from Santana. I don't know if they're going to get it from anybody this year.
Don't you mean Sabathia?
Sabathia, sorry.
Okay.
You know, a slight dark horse, and I'm not sure about this just because of the division they play in and everything, but one that's not out of the mix that we haven't heard a lot of people talk about because they got off to a bad start, but they actually have been playing a lot better recently, is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is 7 games over .500. They're 3.5 games behind the Yankees, and they're 6.5 behind Boston, which is a pretty significant deficit, but certainly not, you know, something that a team couldn't overcome. You know, I think the Tampa Bay Rays last year in the World Series had kind of struggled early in the year, started to pick it up a little bit. They could be a team that could get back in the mix here. I would say they're one to kind of keep an eye on. The Cubs, obviously, I think we got to see where that goes. I like Milwaukee, too. They're the team that I think, you know, good chance at the wild card, particularly if they are able to go out and get some pitching help. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, we're halfway through the season. I think by this time you kind of are who you are. And we don't a lot of times get those Colorado type of teams that kind of come in out of nowhere late in the year. That doesn't necessarily happen a whole lot or very often. So I don't expect to see the standings as they are now change a ton through the rest of the season.
Yeah, and speaking of Colorado, I think the Colorado Rockies themselves have made such a huge run in the last month, and it's really hard to tell how good this team is. It's also hard to tell how good the Yankees are. They've been teams that are playing really well for a short period of time worry me, because I just don't know if they're really this good or if they're just simply riding a wave. Who among these teams do you think has the best chance to compete long-term into the postseason and into the World Series?
Out of what teams?
Well, we're talking about Colorado, New York, the Yankees, and let's say another team that's got hot, like the Phillies. And I think that's it. That's all I have.
Well, I think, you know, the Yankees, I think, are going to be there all the rest of the year. I think the Phillies, obviously, are going to be there just because, you know, I don't know who else in that division is going to overtake them.
No, not just necessarily, you know. Right, and I'm not just so much just to win the division, because some of these cases the divisions are really weak. But I mean, like, who could actually be really good in October?
I don't know. I mean, it's a long ways away to kind of. I mean, the Yankees. You know, they'd be good in October. Maybe they just haven't been in the past. You know, they got Sabathia now. He's kind of had his postseason struggles. You know, Burnett. So they've got some pitching there that could maybe help out a little bit. Philadelphia, I mean, obviously they were world champions last year. You know, they made quite a run. I mean, their pitching's horrible this year. So I think there's a problem, obviously. You know, Colorado, you know, they were there a few years ago. So I don't know. We'll just kind of wait and see. I think that's a good. It's a little too early to start thinking about October to me. I think we got to work on the pennant races first and see how that kind of shapes up, and then
I think you raise an interesting point, but I think there is a good enough cause to judge how a team could do in the playoffs based on their makeup. And, you know, of the three teams I mentioned, I would have to, believe it or not, you're not going to believe this, but I think the Colorado Rockies might be the best equipped of the three. And the reason is their rotation's actually not that bad. They have Ubaldo Jimenez, Aaron Cook, and Jason Marquis, who are doing a pretty reasonably good job this season keeping the Rockies in the game. So I think I like them to make a run. Now, outside of those three, I really think, and you're not going to want to hear this, but I really think the Giants are going to be a serious contender if they make the playoffs. I mean, they got a great rotation, and they've got an offense that will get the job done, a clutch offense. Not a great offense, but a clutch one, and their bullpen is better. I really think the Giants could make some serious noise.
Well, number one, I wish you'd stop saying that, because obviously the day jinx and storm cloud hovers around anybody who you who you make predictions on. I would agree that if the Giants were to somehow win the wild card and make the playoffs, they could potentially be a dangerous team, in the sense that they would line up a pitching staff of Lincecum, Kane, you know, Randy Johnson is probably going to be a starter there, although, you know, he certainly isn't the Randy Johnson we knew from years past. You know, and with the rotation and some timely hitting, you know, they could be very dangerous in the playoffs, particularly when you have Kane and Lincecum, as, you know, they're going to be your top guys. You know, they could have, you know, because they have the pitching to do it. The big thing is getting there. I don't think the Giants can get there unless they make some sort of a move to get another bat in the lineup. It doesn't have to be a big bat, but they do need to get another bat in there. Somebody with some, that can provide some a little bit more consistent hitting than what they're getting, outside of Pablo Sandoval. So, you know, if they can make a move like that, I think then I think we can start maybe talking about the Giants being able to hold on to this spot, the rest of the year.
Yep. And that's what's going to, I was going to ask you if this is the time to trade Jonathan Sanchez coming off a no-hitter. I would say yes with an exclamation
point. Absolutely.
I'd
put him on the first plane out. Where's he going?
I mean, really, this is the perfect time to trade him. I mean, this trade value has never been higher. They got to get some, they can get a good deal of talent for him, I think.
Well, you know, they need to get a kind of a middle of the road consistent hitter. You know, somebody's going to bat about 300 or so in that lineup. If you can plug in there and somewhere in the four or five spot, you know, and can provide some offense for the team, you know, because that's the one thing. They have a lot of inconsistent hitters on their team. The Giants will have certain games where they break out and play really well, and then they have other games where they just struggle and have to win these games 2-1 or 1-0, and, you know, I mean, it's tough to do that. You know, they've had success with it to this point, to this part of the season, but I doubt that can continue an entire second half and into a postseason run. You know, I really think if this team's going to stay in it, they need to add something. There's been Freddy Sanchez has been one that they've kind of rumored about. You know, guy like maybe Jermaine Dye, although the White Sox are in it right now, so I don't think unless they fall out that would ever happen. You know, Matt Holliday is one that some people have talked about. I don't know what kind of fit he would be. He's kind of been a disappointment this year. So I don't know. I mean, you know, but it's, I think the Giants are going to have to find a bat if they want to take that step.
Yeah, and I think that's the greatest thing that could have possibly happened to the Giants, because, you know, who else? It's tough for the Giants to make a trade like this because they don't want to break up their great farm system. But with Jonathan Sanchez being on a roll like that, that gives you your trading chip, and that's huge.
Well, I agree they should trade him. I mean, you know, he just a no-hitter, is great and everything. The guy's got talent, but he just hasn't been able to put it together, and he just loses focus too easily in games. And sometimes, you know, guys like that just need a little bit of a change of scenery and to help them out. And I think that would be good for him, and I think it would be good for the Giants in terms of maybe picking up somebody who maybe can help them down or make a little bit of run here. And you're not risking the farm in terms of your farm system, you know. In fact, the Giants have two pretty high prospect, you know, starting pitchers coming up. You know, and you add that to Kane and Lincecum in the coming years, you could look at, you know, if both those guys pan out, you know, you could be talking about four starting pitchers, young starting pitchers, who could be, you know, at times very dominant. You know, so, you know, the Giants certainly don't need Sanchez long-term on their team. You know, and if you can get something for him now, you know, that might not be the worst thing in the world.
May not indeed. I mean, and them being above 500 is also not the worst thing in the world for baseball. The baseball needs teams like the Giants and the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Yankees to do well. I think it really sets up the fabric of the game, and so do the Cardinals for that matter. So it's a good scene. It's a good scene.
Yeah. Screw Pittsburgh. Screw the Padres. Screw all you teams who we don't give a shit about.
Better, I couldn't have put it any better. Although I might make an exception for the Pirates, but otherwise, yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
Question.
That's who the Giants play first out of the break, by the way.
That's a beautiful thing, except, you know, not for me personally, but it's a beautiful thing for the game, and I think it's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, do they have to kill a person in CSI in the first 5 minutes of the show? I mean, every time they don't make it through 5 minutes and some lady gets killed, some innocent guy gets killed. Do you do the lady? I always noticed that. But you ever notice that about CSI? Like, why do they do that?
Dave, I've never seen an episode of CSI in my life.
But you've seen countless episodes of American Idol. And
that's
so
right.
That's another
one. I know where to put my priorities.
Of course, you... Wow.
Obviously, you do not.
All right, that's cool. That's cool.
I'm taking my American Idol over your CSI any day of the week.
Nah, we'll stick with that, man. That's good enough. All right, dude. Thank you for joining us here, talking about a little bit of baseball and tacos. So you have a good
little bit of everything tonight.
A little bit of everything. So thanks again, and have a good night.
All right, Dave.
And that was Andrew Jacobson joining us here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. You'll hear a lot from him as we go forth here. So this is one of our bonus shows as we go through the quote hiatus here along the Santa Barbara coast as we transition into LA for the big show as we proceed in the city here on Locks of the Week Radio. Thank you again for listening. It's been real. Thanks again. We may be back, we may not, but until then, we'll see you next time.